Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every hair is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we all enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. So you can take your seat. 1 Timothy 3:15. Okay, the Apostle Paul there. He says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God," hallelujah, "the pillar and the ground of the truth." Amen. Okay, so we've been looking around God's word along the lines of ecclesiology. Amen. That is the biblical or theological study of the church. And we've seen quite a number of things. Amen. In the last few sessions, we took a study around Romans 9, 10, and 11. Okay, just to perform an exegesis. Okay, on those chapters. I trust they were very clear. Amen. Okay, so I trust you can explain Romans 9 to 11 to folks now. Amen. You know, those chapters have caused a lot of issues for a while. You know, those are chapters that folks go to bring up all sort of things, all sort of doctrines. But I trust this teaching will provide clarity in that regard. Okay, so in examining Romans 9 to 11, we have seen that the New Testament church is completely different and distinct from Old Testament Israel. Okay, it is not made up of those of natural bloodlines or descent, but all who commonly put faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, so in that case, the Gentiles or non-Jews qualify to be a part of God's New Testament church. Okay, so there is no discrimination based on race. Hallelujah. This means that the Church of Christ is a new phenomenon. Okay? It is not like anything that has existed before. You know, God's dealings with man in the past has always been with individuals. You know, we saw Abel, right? Enoch, then Abraham. Okay, then finally with a specific nation. Okay, that is Israel. Hallelujah. But now God has extended that privilege of fellowship to all men. Okay, so the church is not an upgraded version of Israel. Do you follow that? Okay, it is a completely new thing. Hallelujah. So in this session, we want to examine just how new the New Testament church is. Hallelujah. Okay, how new is the New Testament church? Okay, and are there similarities also with the Old Testament Israel? Okay, we would like to find out. So are you ready now for that? Okay. Now, you find that the word Israel appears about 68 times in the New Testament. Okay, 68 times. The word Israel, it appears about 68 times in the New Testament. And Israelite appears 9 times. Okay, 9 times. Now, you see that most of the references to Israel in the New Testament is to the Jews. Okay, so out of the 68 times Israel is used and the 9 times Israelite is used, most of those references are to the people of Israel, okay, the Jews, or what we can call ethnic Israel, okay. But now the question is, does the New Testament apply the word Israel to the New Testament church also? Okay? Does the New Testament apply the word Israel to the New Testament church also? Now, the answer is yes. Amen. You know, for example, see Galatians 6. Please turn there. Galatians 6, 16. Galatians 6, 16. Are you there? Okay. It says, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Do you see that? The Israel of God. So he calls the church the Israel of God. Now that's a metaphor. Okay? Paul is saying here that the church now shares some similarities with Old Testament Israel. Okay? And as we'll see, several of the New Testament writers used terminologies that were used for Old Testament Israel for the New Testament church. Okay? And the reason for this is simple. Just as Israel had a special relationship with God as God's people, okay, in the Old Testament, so does the church today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so what I want to do now is want to examine some of these terminologies used for the church in the New Testament that are similar to that of Israel. Do you follow that? Okay, now the first we already saw is the terminology, the Israel of God. Right? So the church is called what? The Israel of God. Now, what is the difference? Okay, now is this. Old Testament Israel, or you can say ethnic Israel, was made up of a single nation. Okay, that is the Jewish nation. But the New Testament Israel, however, is made up of all nations. Hallelujah. As many as put faith in Christ. Now, among Bible scholars, it has been debated the meaning of that phrase, the Israel of God, used in Galatians 6:16. Okay, it has been a cause for contention among Bible scholars that the word, the phrase, the Israel of God in Galatians 6:16, what does it mean, or who exactly does it refer to? Now, you have two major meanings, okay, that have been given to it, to that phrase, the Israel of God. Two major meanings. Now, the first meaning given to it is that it refers to the church. Amen? You know, which is the position that we hold as well. Hallelujah. Okay, that it refers to the church. And now, the second meaning given to that phrase, the Israel of God, is that it refers to the nation of Israel. Now, simply reading in context will help us see what or those that Paul is referring to here. Now, just read the antecedent text. Look at verse 15 of that same chapter. It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, underline that, circumcision, nor uncircumcision, underline that, okay, uncircumcision, avails anything but a new creation. You see that? A new creation. Okay, so Paul already explained that neither circumcision, okay, nor uncircumcision avails or profits anything. Now, you know, circumcision is a characteristic of the Jews, right? And uncircumcision, a characteristic of the Gentiles. Okay, so Paul says that neither avails or profits anything. What matters before God is the new creation. Hallelujah. Okay, so this already shows that God's church, okay, or his new Israel, would be made up of both Jews and non-Jews who are new creations. You see that? Those saved through faith in Christ. This is Paul's argument throughout the entire book of Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Galatians 3:6. It says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith, okay, not those born of Abraham naturally, do you see that? Are sons of Abraham. You see that? Okay? And the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles, underline that, okay? The Gentiles, by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Okay, 9. So then those who are of faith, okay, both Jews and non-Jews, okay, are blessed with believing Abraham. You see that? So God's New Testament Israel is made up not of only Jews, but Jews and Gentiles who, like Abraham, have believed in God's word. Do you see that? Okay, so the Israel of God, Galatians 6:16, therefore refers to the New Testament church. Do you see that now? God knew people. Now, having established that, it now makes sense that the same terminologies used to describe Israel in the Old Testament, okay, as God's special people, is also used for the church. Okay, if the church, the New Testament church, is now called the Israel of God, then it makes sense, don't you think so? That the titles, amen, given to Old Testament Israel is therefore given to the New Testament church. Hallelujah. Okay, now let's look at a few of them. Now you may use bullet points here. Okay, I want to look at a few of those terminologies. Are you ready now? Okay, you see that in Acts 15, verse 14, the church is called a people for his name. Okay, Acts 15:14. Okay, the church is called a people for his name. Look at Acts 15:14. It says, Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. You see that? Underline that, okay? A people for its name. Okay, so the Gentiles are included as part of this people. Now, interestingly, Old Testament Israel were once called the people of God. Amen? Judges 20 verse 2. Let's see that. Judges 22. Please turn there. Judges 22. 20 verse 2. Okay? And the leaders of all the people, all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly. Now look at this. Of the people of God. You see that? Now that's Israel, okay? 4,000 foot soldiers who drew the sword. So you see in the Old Testament, Israel called the people of God, right? Now in the New Testament, the church called what? The people of God. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, then next. Okay, remember you are using bullet points here. Okay, now next, the church is called the flock or the sheepfold of God. Hallelujah. The church is called the flock or the sheepfold of God. Look at Acts 20:28. The Apostle Paul there speaking to the Ephesian elders. Okay, Acts 20:28. It says, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, underline that, okay? All the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You see that? Now, who are that flock? He explains. He says, to shepherd what? The church of God. You see that? So what he calls the flock, he further explains as the church of God. Do you see that? Which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Underline that, okay? The flock. You see that? So, the church of Christ is called the flock of God. You see that Jesus himself is the shepherd. Look at John 10:14. John 10:14. John 10:14. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. You see that? He is the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep, okay, and the sheep know him. Look at verse 16 of that same chapter, John 10, okay. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, underline that, okay, one flock, and one shepherd, underline one shepherd. Now see verses 26 to 27. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see that? Okay, you see that Peter also describes the church this way. Look at 1 Peter 5:2. 1 Peter 5:2. Now again, Peter here speaking to the elders in the church. Okay, he's speaking to elders in the church. You see that in verse 1, 1 Peter 5. Then look at verse 2. It says, shepherd the flock of God. Underline that, okay? Flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but sincerely, okay? So the church is therefore God's flock, just like Israel in the Old Testament. Look at Psalm 95 verse 7. Psalm 95 verse 7. It says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. Underline that, okay? His pasture, and the sheep of his hand. You see that? Underline that, okay? Sheep of his hand. So you see that that title has now been transferred. Do you see that? To God's New Testament people. Hallelujah. Now, in the Pauline epistles, you see that the church is also called several terminologies that were used for Israel within the Old Testament. You know, now you may bullet point here. Now, the church in Paul's epistles are called saints. Okay, saints. Now, look at Romans 1:7. Romans 1:7. It says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, underline that, okay, saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see that Old Testament Israel was called a nation of saints, right? Exodus 19:6. It says a holy nation. Okay, and in the Hebrew, that literally means a nation of saints. Okay, a holy nation, a nation of saints. As saints refers to holy ones. Okay, you can say a nation of holy ones. So you see that terminology is now transferred. Do you see that? To the New Testament church. Then next, you see the word beloved used as well. Beloved. Romans 1:7. It says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, hallelujah, called to be saints, underline beloved, okay, underline saints. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 12:18 or 19. Romans 12:19. Okay, it says, beloved, underline that, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Okay, so you see the church called beloved. Now, Israel in the Old Testament was Yahweh's beloved. Remember, I've told you that their relationship was likened to husband and wife, right? You see that Isaiah 54 verse 5. Please turn there. Isaiah 54 verse 5. It says, for your maker is your husband. Underline that. Your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. So you see, Yahweh is called the husband, right? To Old Testament Israel. But you see that in the New Testament, the church is now called the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 5:24. Ephesians 5:24. It says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You see that? 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So you see, a simile is used, right? Okay, thank you. The relationship between Jesus and his church is likened. Okay, that's a simile, right? Okay, to that of husband and wife. Do you see that? Okay, so the church has now received that status from Israel. Hallelujah. So we are the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, then next, circumcision. Circumcision. Now, the Jews called themselves the circumcision. Okay, referring to a custom amongst them. Okay, the custom of cutting off. Okay, the foreskin of their body part. Okay, it refers to the physical cutting off of the foreskin. Okay, that is the circumcision. Okay, so they refer to themselves as the circumcision. But you see that Paul explains that the only circumcision that God reckons with or acknowledges is that of the heart. Amen? The only circumcision that God acknowledges is that of the heart. Look at Romans 2:28. Romans 2:28. It says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. You see that? But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. Underline that. Of the heart, underline inwardly, okay, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from man but from God. Now, to circumcise the heart is to have faith, okay? Therefore, only those with a circumcised heart are a part of God's New Testament people. Do you see that? Okay, a part of his New Testament church is ecclesia. Look at how Paul says this. Philippians 3:3. Please turn there. Philippians 3:3. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Philippians 3:3. Now it says, we there are believers, okay, are the circumcision. You see that? For we, believers, are the circumcision, or you can say the true circumcision. Hallelujah. You see that? Who worship God where? In the spirit, as opposed to the flesh, right? With Israel, okay? Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Hallelujah. So our circumcision is not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now, when did this happen? This happened when Jesus cut off our sin nature. Are you following this? Okay, when Jesus cut off our sin nature by his finished work. Look at Colossians 2:11. Colossians 2:11. Please turn your Bible there. Colossians 2:11. It says, in him you were also circumcised. Look at that. With the circumcision made without hands. Hallelujah. You see that? Underline that, without hands, okay? By putting off, underline that, putting off, or you can say cutting off, okay? Cutting away the body of the sins of the flesh. You see that? By the circumcision of Christ. Hallelujah. You see that? So, Old Testament Israel will cut off the physical skin, right? Now, Jesus cuts off our sins. Do you see this? So, we have the reality of the type. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, the next are children and heirs of God. That's another title, okay, status that we have received. Children and heirs of God. Look at Romans 8:16. Romans 8:16. there? Romans 8:16. Okay, it says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. Hallelujah. Say we are children of God. Amen. Underline children, okay? And if children, underline that again, children, then heirs. You see that? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So we are called the children of God. You see that Old Testament Israel was once called God's son, right? Look at Hosea 11:1. Hosea 11:1. Okay, it says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. You see that? So Israel is called what? My son, or Yahweh's son. Now you see, that title has now been transferred, hallelujah, to the Christ and to his church. You see that now? Then next, my people. My people. Look at Romans 9:25. 2:26. Romans 9:25-26. Okay. And he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people, underline that, my people, who are not my people, underline that, okay, my people, and are beloved, who was not beloved. Now here, quoting Hosea 2:23. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, underline that, my people. There they shall be called sons, hallelujah, of the living God. Okay, so you know this speaks of the Gentiles, right? Okay, so God's New Testament people would now be made up of Gentiles who once were not regarded as God's people. Do you see that? Okay, so that title has now been transferred, okay, to his church, made up of the Gentiles. Okay, then next, the temple of God. Temple of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Okay, the Apostle Paul there, he says, do you not know that you, now I told you, you there refers to the entire church, right? Okay, thank you. You are the temple of God, hallelujah, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Okay, now you know that Old Testament Israel had a physical temple, right? A physical structure. Now, as opposed to the Old Testament, God's temple, amen. Do you see this? Not a place, hallelujah. Say we are his temple. Praise the Lord. Then next, sons of Abraham. Sons of Abraham. Look at Galatians 3:7. It says, therefore know that only those who are of faith, underline that, okay, of faith, are sons of Abraham. You see that? So God regards only those who believe as Abraham's son. Do you follow that? God regards only those who believe as Abraham's son. So the church, not the Jews, are the children of Abraham today. Do you see this? Then Paul continues in verse 26 of that same chapter. He says, for you are all sons, underline that, okay, all sons of God through faith, underline that, through faith in Christ Jesus, okay, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Okay, there is neither Jew nor Greek, underline that, neither Jew nor Greek, okay, or Gentile, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, hallelujah. And if you're Christ, now look at this, you are Abraham's seed. You see that? Or children, okay, and heirs according to the promise. Okay, so in the New Testament, the children of Abraham have changed. Amen. Every man who puts faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, then next are children of promise. That's another title used for Israel, okay, in the Old Testament. are children of promise. Look at Galatians 4:28. It says, now we brethren, as Isaac was, now look at this, are children of promise. Now brethren there refers to Christians, okay, the church. It says, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Okay, so the children of the promise made to Abraham are those who, like Abraham, believe. Do you see that? Okay, those who, like Abraham, believe. Look at Romans 9:8. Okay, that is those who are the children of the flesh, or you can say are physical descendants, okay? The Jews, okay? These are not the children of God. Come on. You see that? But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Do you follow that? Okay, so natural descent from Abraham doesn't automatically confer that title. Do you see that now? Natural descent from Abraham doesn't automatically confer that title. Hallelujah. Okay, then next, Israel of God. We've seen this already, right? Galatians 6:16. I mean, this one is very direct. Hallelujah. It says the Israel of God. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:16. It says, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. See that? So the New Testament church is now God's Israel. Hallelujah. Say we are the Israel of God. Say we are the true Israel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, in And God Wants the World part 4. And we'll look at this very well, okay? What it means to be the Israel of God in relation to our responsibility. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Get ready for that teaching, okay? Okay, then next, household of God. Amen. Household of God. Ephesians 2:19. Okay? It says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, okay, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You see that? You see that a household means a family, right? Okay. Now, in the Old Testament, Yahweh had a familial relationship with Israel. Okay, not familiar, familial. You get it? L-I-A-L. Okay, family. Okay, with Israel. Look at Isaiah 49:14. Isaiah 49:14. Please turn your Bible there. I'll wait for you. Isaiah 49:14. Okay, it says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Now look at 15. Can a woman forget a nursing child? Do you see that? So an imagery of a mother, right? Can we say family? Okay. And not have compassion on the son of a womb. Underline that, okay? A nursing child and the son of a womb. Now look at this. Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. You see that? Now you there is Israel, okay? So you see the relationship? Okay, a familiar relationship. Look at Isaiah 66:13. Isaiah 66:13. Okay, it says, as one whom his mother comforts. Underline that, okay? Whom his mother comforts. It says, so I will comfort you. See that again? And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. So, Israel of the old related with Yahweh as kin. Do you see that? Now, this has been transferred to the New Testament church. We are now God's household. Hallelujah. Okay, so we are his household. We are his kin. So we are his family. Hallelujah. Okay, then next, God's elect. Okay, that's another status or title. God's elect. Look at Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12. Okay, therefore, as the elect of God, you see that? Underline that, okay? The elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering. So Paul calls us elect here, right? Now, you note that Old Testament Israel was once called God's elect. Now, that word elect means chosen. Okay, chosen. Look at Deuteronomy 7:6. Deuteronomy 7:6. Please turn your Bible there. Deuteronomy 7:6. It says, "For you," as Israel, okay, "are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you," underline that, okay, "chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." Okay, look at Psalm 135:4. Okay, Psalm 135:4. Are you there? Okay, "For the Lord has chosen," see that, "Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure." Underline chosen, okay? So that is a parallelism. You see that? Okay, Jacob in the first parallel is now described as Israel. You see that? In the second parallel, referring to the same thing. Okay, so God has chosen Jacob, or you can say the people of Israel. Look at Isaiah 44:1. Isaiah 44:1. Okay, it says, "Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen." You see that? Online, that chosen, okay? Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jezreel. Now, that's another name for Israel, okay? Whom I have chosen. Underline that. Chosen. So, Old Testament Israel were God's chosen people. You see that? But God's chosen people in the New Testament is His church. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's put a pause on this for now. We'll come back to this particular subject of election. Okay, of the elect, okay? So, let's put a pause on it for now. The next, house of God. Okay, house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15, right? Our anchor text. 1 Timothy 3:15. It says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God." Underline that, okay? The house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay, and remember we said that this means that the church is both God's family and God's dwelling place, right? Okay, just like Israel of the Old Testament. You see that in the Old Testament, Yahweh is said to be in the midst of Israel. Okay, in the midst of his people. Look at Numbers 35:34. Numbers 35:34. It says, Numbers 35:34. "Therefore, do not defile the land which you inhabit, in the midst of which I dwell." You see that? Underline that, okay? "The midst of which I dwell." Okay, "for I, the Lord, dwell among." You see that? The children of Israel. Underline among, okay? So you see, in the Old Testament, he dwelt amongst his people, right? Israel. Now, in the New Testament, he's in the midst of his church. Look at Matthew 18:20. Matthew 18:20. Please turn there. Matthew 18:20. It says, "For where two or three are gathered together," okay, "in my name, I am there in the midst of them." You see that? Now, in context, the two or three gathered here are the church. Look at verse 17 of that same chapter. It says, "And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to who?" The church. Underline that. The church. "But if he refuses even to hear the church, underline that, okay, the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. You see that? So the two or three gathered are the church. So God is in our midst when we are gathered. Hallelujah. Say we have his presence. Say we have his presence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, the next, his own special people. His own special people. Titus 2:14. Titus 2:14. Are you there? Okay. It says, Who there being our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, gave himself for us, that we might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people. You see that? Zealous for good works. Now, this was Israel in the Old Testament. Look at Deuteronomy 14:2. Deuteronomy 14:2. It says, "For you are holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you." You see that? To be a people for himself. Okay? A special treasure. Underline that, okay? Special treasure above all the peoples. Underline that. All the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You see that? So this was Israel's title in the Old Testament, right? Now this title has been bestowed on the church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so these are the titles used for the church in the Pauline epistles. Okay, now let's move on quickly to the general epistles. Okay, now the general epistles, you know, written by Peter, James, John, and the writer of Hebrews. Okay, and now in the general epistles, the church is called, now you may bullet point here, heirs of the kingdom. Heirs of the kingdom. Look at James 2:5. James 2:5. It says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom?" Underline that. Heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him. Now you see that Israel in the Old Testament is called a kingdom of priests, right? Exodus 19:6. Please turn there. Exodus 19:6. It says, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests." Okay, you see that? A kingdom of priests. Underline that, okay? "And a holy nation." These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So the Old Testament Israel called the kingdom of Yahweh, right? Okay, now God's kingdom is his church, made up of his New Testament people. Hallelujah. Okay, then next, a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. Look at 1 Peter 2:5. 1 Peter 2:5. Now it says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood." Underline that. A holy priesthood. "To offer of spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You see that? Then it continues in verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation." Okay? "A royal priesthood." Underline that. A royal priesthood. "A holy nation." Okay? Underline holy nation. "His own special people." Underline that. Okay? Special people. "That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Okay, now these are all Old Testament titles for Israel. Okay, it's almost like Peter went to Exodus 19:5-6. Okay, and he copied all the titles there. Amen. For Israel, and then applies them to the church. Okay, that's what he does here. Now look at verse 10, 1 Peter 2:10. It says, "Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God." Hallelujah. And learn that, okay? Now the people of God. "Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Okay, then next, sojourners and pilgrims. Sojourners and pilgrims. Look at 1 Peter 2:11. 1 Peter 2:11. It says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims." Underline that, okay? "Sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." Now, you know that Israel in the Old Testament were sojourners, right? Wandering around the world for 40 years. Okay? Now, just like Israel wandered from place to place without settling in a home, so we wander on the earth in search of a future home. Do you see that? So what does that mean? That means that we are not of this world. Do you see this? So we are just here temporarily. So do you see that Israel's exodus is actually a type? Okay, just like the way they wandered around the earth without settling down in a place for 40 years. It's the same way, you know, they are disconnected from the other nations. You see that? They were disconnected from the Gentile nations, right? Okay, it's the same way we as well, okay? We must realize that although we are sent to bless the sinful, right? The unbelievers are, we must be separate from them, okay, in our conduct, in our lifestyle, amen? This world is not ours, amen? We are just called sojourners here, or pilgrims, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then next, the house of God. The house of God. Look at 1 Peter 4:17. 1 Peter 4:17. It says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Now, judgment there refers to persecution, okay, in context. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not believe the gospel of God? You see that? So we're called the house of God. Then lastly, in the book of Revelation, the church is called a kingdom of priests. Okay, you may bullet point here. First, a kingdom of priests. That is Revelation 1:6. Okay, Revelation 1:6. Please turn there. It says, and has made us kings and priests, okay, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, Revelation 5:10. Revelation 5:10. It says, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Okay, you see that? So we are kings and priests. Amen. Okay, just like Old Testament Israel. Okay, remember that? A nation of priests. Okay, now look at the next title is wife. Okay, wife. Look at Revelation 19:7. Revelation 19:7. Okay, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Hallelujah. And his wife, underline that, okay, his wife has made herself ready. Now you know that Old Testament Israel said was called Yahweh's wife, right? Okay, so the church now assumes all the realities that once accrued to ethnic Israel. Do you see that? Everything Israel was, we now become by faith in Christ. Do you see that? Okay, so by calling the New Testament church the Israel of God, Paul reveals that all of God's prophecies concerning Israel have now been fulfilled in the church. You follow this? Okay, so that means that when you read the Old Testament and you see prophecies of God's goodness toward Israel in the future, you must keep your focus on the New Testament church. You follow that? You know that if Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, then so is his church. Amen? If Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, then also is his church. Okay? We are the true Israel of God. Hallelujah. Okay? Galatians 6:16 tells us that. Okay? Not only that, we are the true seed of Abraham. Okay? Galatians 3:26. It says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Greek nor Jew. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are what? Abraham's seed. Underline that, okay? Seed. And heirs according to the promise. And we are also the true temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, okay? It says, do you not know that you are the temple, okay, of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Hallelujah. Okay, so everything Israel was in a type, we are as a true. Remember I told you that the word true means that we now have the reality, right? Okay, the word true means that we now have the reality of all that Old Testament types foreshadowed. Okay, so true means real. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we are now the true Israel, okay? The fulfilled Israel. We are the Israel God always wanted. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, now as we begin to close gradually now, remember I told you we're coming back to the election, right? Okay, now another similarity between the New Testament church and Old Testament Israel is the election. Now, the election speaks of God's call. Amen. and choice of Israel as his people in the Old Testament. You follow that? That is the election. Okay, so when Israel is called elected of God, that refers to Israel's call and Israel's choice, okay, by God as his people in the Old Testament. Now we've said that our Old Testament Israel are called by God my chosen or my elect. Look at Isaiah 43 verse 20. Isaiah 43 20. Hallelujah. Okay, Isaiah 43 20. It says, the beast of the field will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Underline that. My chosen. Then look at Isaiah 45 verse 4. 45 verse 4. It says, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect. Underline that, okay? Elect. I have even called you by your name. I have named you though you have not known me. Now look at chapter 65. Verse 9, 65, verse 9, Isaiah, okay? It says, I'll bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, an heir of my mountains. Now look at this, my elect, okay, referring to the Jews, okay, shall inherit it, underline that, okay? My elect and my servants shall dwell there. Now see verse 22 of that same chapter. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people and my elect. Underline that. My elect shall long enjoy the ends of their works. Amen. Now, that word elect, you find the Hebrew word baker used there. Okay, baker. That's B-A-C-H-I-R, okay, is used for elect, which means chosen one. Amen? Chosen one. Now, you note that God's choosing of Israel is traceable back to God's calling and his choosing of Abraham. Remember that? They are chosen because of their ancestors. Do you remember that? Okay, you find this Genesis 12 verse 1. Please turn there. As we begin to close gradually now, Genesis 12:1, it says, and the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So you see, it began with Abraham, right? Or Abram, as it was then called. Then this choice continued with Isaac. Okay, the son of Abram, or Abraham. Look at Genesis 26:3. It says, dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Okay, so that's Isaac, right? And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. You see that? Okay, and then Jacob in Genesis 28:13-15. Genesis 28:13-15. It says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and you will bring you to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. You see that? Okay, then Genesis 35:11. Still Jacob again there. Genesis 35:11-12. As we begin to close now. Amen. Genesis 35:11. It says, "And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body." Okay. "The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac I give to you, and your descendants after you I give this land." You see that? So Abraham, right, then his son, then his grandson. Now you see that God called Abraham my servant long before he calls Israel my servant. Amen. You see that? Genesis 26:24, right? Genesis 26:24. He calls Abraham my servant before he calls Israel my servant. Now you see that Israel was to God a people for himself. Okay, Deuteronomy 7:6 tells us that. Okay, they were to God a people for himself, and they were chosen and called out of Egypt as his son. Hosea 11:1. See that? Okay, now that word chosen was also used for Christ Jesus. Amen. It was also used for Christ Jesus. Now look at Luke 9:35. Luke 9:35. Hallelujah. Luke 9:35. Now it says, "And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son, hear him." Okay? "This is my beloved son, hear him." Now, beloved there, underline it, okay? It actually means chosen in the Greek. Do you follow that? The word beloved there actually means chosen in the Greek. That is the word eklego. Okay, eklego. That's E-K-L-E-G-O. E-K-L-E-G-O. The last O accentuated, okay? So, the text may be better read this way. "This is my son, the chosen one." Do you get it? "This is my son, the chosen one, hear him." Okay, so we see that Jesus, just like Old Testament Israel, is chosen, okay, or elected by God to carry out his plans on the earth. Do you see that? Look at Isaiah 42:1. Isaiah 42:1. Now it says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one." Underline that. "My elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. It will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." Now this is a messianic prophecy, okay, which Jesus fulfilled. Okay, messianic from Messiah, okay, which means pertaining to the Messiah, okay, which Jesus fulfilled. Look at Matthew 12:15. Matthew 12:15. You know, in God Wants a World 3, we call them suffering seven passages. Do you remember that? Okay, thank you very much. Matthew 12:15. It says, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it may be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying," now 18, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles." Isaiah 42:1. You see that? So Jesus is God's elect, okay, or chosen chief cornerstone. Look at 1 Peter 2:4. He is God's elect or chosen chief cornerstone. Look at 1 Peter 2:4. 1 Peter 2:4. Okay, it says, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God." Underline that. Chosen by God. That's Jesus Christ, okay? "And precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect," underline that. You see that? Elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. You see that? So Jesus is the foundation of God's building. Now that building is the church. You follow that? Okay, so it's likened to the cornerstone. Okay, the cornerstone in those days is the foundation. Okay, what holds the building together? So that is Jesus. Okay, now look at this. If Jesus, the foundation, is elect, then the building is also elect. Hallelujah. Okay, his church is therefore made of God's elect. Remember that principle of the Bible. If the foundation, right, is holy, so is the entire building. Hallelujah. Okay, so because Jesus, the foundation of the church, is elect, by identification with him, we become as he is. Hallelujah. Okay, and that is why the church is now also called the elect of God. Amen. Look at Romans 8:33. Romans 8:33. The apostle Paul speaking there. Romans 8:33. He says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" Now that's us. Hallelujah. Okay, it is God who justifies. Hallelujah. So we are his elect. So we are his chosen ones. Praise the Lord. Look at Colossians 3:12. Okay, similarly there, Colossians 3:12. It says, "Therefore, as the elect," underline that, okay, "elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering." Look at Titus 1:1. Titus 1:1. It says, "Paul, a bond servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect." Now that's the church. Underline that, okay? God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Now see 1 Peter 1:1. 1 Peter 1:1. Okay? 1 Peter 1:1. It says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." Elect, underline that. You see that? He calls them elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. You see that? He calls them the elect. You see that in chapter 5, verse 13, that is 1 Peter, okay? When Peter refers to the church at Babylon, look at what it says. Okay, 5:13. It says, "She who is in Babylon," okay, that's the church, okay? "Elect together with you." You see that? Underline that, okay? "Elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark my son." You see that? So, the church is therefore elect or chosen just like Israel was. Do you see that? We are elect and chosen just like Israel was. But there is a distinction, okay? A difference. While Israel was one nation, elected as Yahweh's servants in bringing the Christ and blessings to all. You know, Romans 9:4-5 tells us that. Now, the church is made up of all nations. Hallelujah. Okay, so Israel is one nation, elected by Yahweh to bring his plan to fruition, right? That is, give us the scriptures, right? His revelation, and also the Christ. Remember, salvation is of the Jews. Okay, but now the church is made up of all nations. Hallelujah. We are the chosen. We are the elect of God. Praise the Lord. Did you learn? If you're giving praise, we continue from here in the next session. Give him